What's up? I'm Pretty Boy Shav, and you're watching me on Giving Them the Business with Chris Gotti and Don DeNiro. Check it out and stay pretty.
Yo, we're back. Here we are once again. This is Chris Gotti Lorenzo and my partner, Don DeNiro.
Go hola, Mr. Money for the Gringo.
So I want to just get into it. I want to thank everybody again for liking, sharing, subscribing.
Yes.
Please go get the merch. It's in the store at adventuremusic.com. Thank you for supporting. We're over a million plus and growing. And
Definitely. This
is just a beautiful thing. And the guest we have today should be able to help us.
Yes.
Sweetie. Then I'm bad with names. I'm sorry. I want to make sure I pronounce it right. Shav?
Yeah, that's yes. It. That's Shav. Me, Shav.
Shav.
In I'm the flesh.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
you're
sorry.
Good. You're Shav. Good. That's perfect.
It's like saying shave, but with a little like
yeah,
French.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's like Shav. French shave.
Did you Shav today?
Yeah,
did
yeah,
you Shav. Shav today?
Did you Shav today? That's, we got to tag
that. That's a slogan for you.
I'm keeping it, man.
That is a fucking
Thank
slogan
you for, that one.
For you. Did you Shav today?
Ooh.
That is fucking crazy. You're laughing. Hey. I love it.
It's good.
You're not only in the tech space and have done something very iconic that all you artists out there absolutely don't know. He is someone that might affect you. Or not.
We'll see. We'll find out.
We'll see.
But he's definitely affecting change in the industry.
But he's affecting change in the industry, and it's a pleasure for me to have you on here. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate you coming out. We're missing one of your partners who I met you with, which is Connor. Shout out to Connor.
Shout out, Connor.
And Connor, we're going to bring you on. You're not getting away because I think you're trying to get away from this shit.
He's not getting away. He's down.
You will be here just like Shav is here.
Shav.
So, you know, I want to just say thank you for coming in. And I wanted
thank you
to
for
just
having me, for real.
Let you start by saying, like, the name of your company, which is Indify.
Mm-hmm.
And then what started Indify? I want to go back to what made you create, or you and your team.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't just you.
No.
It's other members inside of it. You know, and again, we just met. It was a great time.
Yeah, let me preface by saying this is wild that I'm even here, man. Because I was, just to give the context, like, you know, I'm moving around right now every day. I'm actually, you know, starting to talk to some investors about our next round.
Sure.
And, you know, a friend of ours, Roy, was like, hey, man, you got to come to the studio. Baron Davis is cooking up. And I'm like, you know what I mean? I watched basketball in high school. I was like, this is the guy, right?
Well, he was one
and
of the guys.
I know Baron. He's been doing his music thing, so I've been wanting to connect. So no expectations. I came to the studio here. I don't know if we want to shout out the studio.
IMI, of course. Yeah. This is IMI Studios.
Let's go.
You know, shout out Armando.
Yep.
That's my partner there.
And I come in. Baron's there. And then in walks HD Been Dope, who's a fire artist. Check out Mamba.
Oh, my God.
In walks Mano. In walks whoever. Like,
Ricky.
All these people. And the next thing I know, there's like 100 people, you know what I mean, in this room. We're all hanging out. But me and you, we started talking, and it felt special, man. And I talked to a lot of people in, like, a lot of different spaces.
I know energy, and we had something that was very special when you say that. From an energy standpoint, you and Connor, and I think we had a meeting of the minds, really.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of, like,
yeah,
boom.
Something happened.
Yeah.
And you got to trust that. I think that's, honestly, it goes to your question. And this is the first thing that I've learned. It's the first thing I followed, and I've only learned to follow it more today, is you have to follow your instinct and the universe.
Yes.
And those two things unconditionally
will not mislead you.
Nope. And they'll get you to a special place. And as long as your heart is pure and your mind is on the mission, things actually appear them, you know, show themselves to you. And so for me, you know, I'm a founder, a tech founder, a co-founder with my two best friends that I've known my whole life. I met Connor in fourth grade in Little League baseball when we won a world championship. We're about to win another one in real life. And
he said about to win another one in real life.
Yeah. And he
Are
and
you
Matt
in the playoffs right now.
That's right. Yeah, actually, that's what I consider the investment side of things. That's my playoffs. I don't drink. Hey. I lock in. Social media is turned
off.
That's
why I'm going. I've noticed when you mentioned. That's why I asked you. Are you in the playoffs right now?
Yeah. We're in playoffs.
Okay.
And I was actually late
you
to
up
the,
in the series.
Yeah. We'll see. That we'll find out. But also, you know, I was late to the party in fourth grade.
Right.
Because he met my other co-founder in pre-K.
Mm. Oh, wow.
While I was overseas in India, in Malaysia, in Singapore, where I was before I moved to Westchester, where I grew up. And so, yeah, growing up, I was an artist. You know,
what part of India you're from?
I was born in New Delhi.
New Delhi.
That's where my family's from, too. Yeah, a lot of my grandparents and everyone, my cousins and uncles and aunts are still there. So,
yeah.
But my immediate family is here in Westchester. And growing up, I think it's something about being different in wherever you are.
Yes.
And I think all artists or people who are in music experience that. That I was, you know, I grew up in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, honestly, in Scarsdale, New York. And I was just, I was a kid from India. And so it was like square peg, round hole. And I started feeling fearful of those differences, but I became very comfortable with that. And that was the artist's journey. That's what being an artist helps you do. It turns your differences into a superpower. And when I started to make music and started to write music, and I felt, you know, I didn't have the best voice, but I had a very unique voice, and I didn't have, you know, the craziest ability to do runs and all that, but I wrote like my heart, you know? That's what I said to you. Yeah, I make pop music with a heart.
And I heard it.
And that is what led me to Indify, because going through the music industry, being an artist, I started to notice things that for us artists, I wish were different. Mm. And I think a lot of the initial ideas came from that.
Part of the reason you did Identify?
No, I think it was more about equality and justice.
Okay, the injustice, right.
Because...
go ahead.
Yeah, I think... so, you know, me and my best friends are in high school.
Yes.
And we're basically like burning CDs for each other. We're obsessed with music. We're falling in love with this whole thing. And I go to Colgate University and I join, you know, Warner Music Group in the digital strategy and biz dev department. Mm-hmm. And I get my hands on a report that says Spotify's...
while you're at school in Colgate.
Yeah, I went to, did a semester at NYU abroad, but I lived at home just so I could be around the music industry more. Mm-hmm. So I did that for 8 months, that internship. And I got my hands on a report that said like Spotify's penetration rate in Sweden was through the roof. Like this is 2012, 2013. And I'm very lucky because I see this access to information that says this platform that is a new way of consuming music, mind you, game-changing way of, you know, listening to music. I mentioned this at the beginning of last night.
Right.
We went from a world where people were making CDs to having 100 songs, I don't know, like maybe 1,000 songs if you're a music listener on your iTunes, right?
Yep.
To now having 60 million songs in our pocket as human beings for the first time in human history. As a species, we've never had this much music.
And you know what's crazy? For the CDs, we used to have to pay for them.
Yeah.
Music is free.
And that, right here, you got every
music
song in the world.
Music is free though, that's what's crazy.
Yeah, well that I think we should talk about too.
We will, but that's what's crazy as an artist, and you look, we talk about that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I noticed that change. I started to realize that that was going to be the future of the music industry. And so the next summer, I interned with a company called Savin, which is the biggest streaming service in India. It's like the Spotify of India.
Right.
And I start to design data dashboards internally for the team to look at the artists who are doing well on inside the platform. And I have access to all this rich information because I'm working inside the platform. And so, again, very luckily, I see there's all these digital services that are coming out and that are going to become the future of music. Like we've seen it already in Sweden. This is going to become the whole world. There's so much information inside of these services, so much access to knowledge, right? That shows you which artists are resonating. And as a kid, you look up to the like Atlantic Records, right? Mm-hmm. Interscope Records, Columbia Records. You think that, okay, these people have it all figured out. But when I started to meet with them, I started to ask, you know, these major labels, I'm saying, how do you discover artists? And I'm thinking they have these like spaceship technologies. You know what I mean? They're paying billions of dollars on artists. And I remember this one A&R pulled out a spreadsheet. He had 14 artists on the spreadsheet. And he said he had interns writing in these digital numbers. These are online metrics every week. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, where do you even get these 14 artists that are on here? And they go, these music blogs. And I'm thinking to myself, I know these music blogs. I'm an artist. I've submitted to them. that's written by a 16-year-old kid with a bedtime and like who has like shit to do. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God, like if you don't have a cousin at one of these blogs or a dad in the music industry, you don't have a chance.
You don't have a chance.
This is around 2015. And so I got together with my best friends. Again, as an artist, this is, that was demoralizing.
That's a very important point for artists that are listening and to understand. That's what they're facing, because if they don't have a connection to those guys that was writing those blogs or connect, no one's going to get to you at the label side, because this is all they're looking at. And that's the connection they're missing. And it's like, this is part of the disconnect every artist has with how they get to the labels. Yeah. How to get there.
And that's when I got together with my best friends and I said, you know, as artists, we just believe. And that's the one thing I had, like a confidence. Ridiculous belief that we could do anything.
That's right.
And that's credit to my parents and you know, all the people that raised me. But I got together with my best friends and I said, rather than basing this off relationships, can we build a platform that predicts the next big music stars using performance? Information from YouTube, SoundCloud, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify.
All the data that's already out there.
Exactly. Yes. To rank and even just track these emerging artists so people can use truth to give opportunities. Because it's one thing to believe you should blow up. It's another thing to actually be blowing up and still not be getting the opportunities you deserve. And so that was the version one of Indify that we ended up providing for a subscription, as a subscription tool to labels, talent agencies, streaming services, and the biggest opportunities in music at the time.
So when you first started the idea, your idea was to help the labels find talented artists that are out there doing their numbers.
Exactly.
Organically, the right artists.
Right.
Not based on their 16-year-old who wrote a blog because he wanted it to be true numbers from real places that organically, and that's why they picked them.
And to democratize discovery.
Yes.
That was goal one.
That's the way to say it. That's the proper way. Big words. Discovery.
Democratized discovery. We're not talking politics.
That was a good one.
Yeah. So you get this done. That was your, let's say, 101. This is
V1. Yeah.
Yeah. This is your first version.
Yeah.
Generation one of.
Yeah. And that's just, I come together with these guys. And these are my buddies. And we're in the basement. I'm like, I have this
idea.
Guys,
did you go to school for tech or something like that?
So Matt Pavia, my co-founder, our CTO, has, you know, built all the technology and led that since day one of Indify. He went to Lehigh. He studied technology. And he was always like, remember, I've known these guys forever. Yeah. He was like building the stuff for like our pizza shop in like Scarsdale. And he like did some work for my mom's company. Like he's like always been at the cutting edge of technology.
He went to Lehigh D-Tech.
He's dying to meet him.
I'm dying to figure out how to work together with everyone.
Yeah. No, that's
Matt.
And
if I meet him, I have intellectual property that I know.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
that,
special.
That will change things.
He's special.
And you know, I'm a fan of Steve Jobs, right? Yeah. I studied Steve Jobs and
yeah,
his
me
whole
too.
Thing. And one of the things that I always looked at was his relationship with Wozniak, who is probably one of the most incredible talented coders in the world. And Steve, one of his conversations was, if it was up to you, it would be the same as everybody else. So I always looked at the idea, right? He's basically saying, because his idea, I knew a lawyer that worked there, and he said one day Steve Jobs walks in the meeting, and all of them are at this meeting, and he throws a bag of CDs on a table. And he had the iPod, and he goes in there and he says, put that in this, and throws it down and leaves. It's the idea. He didn't figure out how to do it in the physical sense, but if you don't think it could happen or give that idea to make that happen, it never happens.
It
takes a hell of a longer time. I don't want to say never, because someone might come up with it and finally, but that's what Steve Jobs was. And he would always tell Wozniak how, as great as you are as a coder, you're still going to make the thing that every other coder would do. That you're thinking like them. And you need to think out of that. And that's why it's the combination.
That's what it is. It's like, I think it's like a great chord.
Yeah.
You know? And our third is a part of that. Like, Connor, you know, he's our third co-founder.
What did he study?
he was, you know,
women.
Yeah. He went to Marist, and he was interning at Viacom, Time, Complex, and he was doing editorial with a lot of these places and media and studying marketing. And as important as the data was in this tool that identified artists,
right,
actually the thing that really changed the industry was equally our storytelling. Mm. Because I'm an artist at the end of the day, it's not just about data. And this is what a lot of people miss in the space. But together, we were able to develop a system and idea, which evolves, and the execution, in my belief, is as important as that. So we all, in harmony, I think, work together. And, you know, what Connor brought to the table was Matt built the platform, and Connor really understood how to bridge the story and what was going on in the market with the platform. And right. he's our COO now, but he started by writing and leading the editorial that lived on top of the data. Right? Like, if you have an artist named Little Toenail that goes from like 5,000 views to a million views, that's the context is like, okay, this might be a bit more of a meme, right? This is a thing. But if you have a kid singing, you know, heartfelt music in the middle of nowhere and it's starting to resonate, that's a different context. So, what Connor would do is every single day write one piece about one artist that would go out in as a newsletter into all of these A&R's inboxes. And that
was for him helping the artist that he would see in the metric moving
exactly
numbers to figure out, if I get this and the kid gets signed or something happens, then you're kind of proving the
and just sharing that one artist story, what we became known for at Indify in that V1 was not just the data, but the word everyone kept saying.
What's
was
the question?
Context.
Connor has, so Matt does the tech, he went to Lehigh,
yeah.
Connor goes to Marist and understands marketing.
Yeah.
You go to Colgate.
And I mean, for me,
I know it was your baby when you came up with the idea.
It's vision and business.
Right?
But business,
you're
really
more of the face out there that you like to go out and talk. I'm not saying it's a team, but you gotta go out and sell the company.
Yeah, I represent, I'm definitely, I handle the business, the business side. I think we all play a lot of roles. As co-founders, we wear certain hats. And as our roles, CEO, COO, and CTO, we wear certain hats. But at the end of the day, I think, yes, like for me, I handle a lot of the business. Connor now handles like the marketing and operations, and Matt handles the technology. And that we always, the beautiful thing about us is we always were different. That's what made us a great crew in general. Not even just a great bunch of co-founders.
Can't all be the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm listening to the story and it looks like, if you guys are in your, and you're assuming same age group.
Yeah, the same age, yeah. 93 born.
Okay, all 93s.
Yeah.
Then definitely that's something that you guys, if you're all vested in this mission, then you guys probably came onto this planet to do this.
We all love music, and it is weird, right? I think a lot of people who've studied trends look at timing. We came out of-
You said timing.
Timing. We
it's
came
out- one reason for all success.
Yeah. And think about it, right? Like, I was in college when the streaming transition happened, which, as I described, is one of the most monumental shifts in music in human history.
That paradigm shift was unbridled.
Shift is incredible.
I came out of college and the industry was at the absolute bottom.
Yes.
It was literally the exact year that it was at the bottom, and it's only been up since then. So thank God, because it was tough in the first few years, which I can get into, but brick by brick, this thing has only gone up. And now people are saying, you know, Goldman Sachs, some of the biggest financial institutions in the world are saying, they're calling this, the report is a stairway to heaven, music in the air. And they say that the music industry is expected to more than double.
Might be another great internship for Z. So I got, you know what I'm saying? It's tough for a company like that doing anything.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, what did I handle? I handled business and I was at Colgate. I was very fortunate and privileged because at Colgate, they had one of the first entrepreneurship programs in the country.
Okay.
And so this is how the business got started. This is a crazy story. I was part of this program at Colgate University called Thought into Action. And, you know, they somehow, and it's never been this crazy since, they somehow got Jessica Alba, MC Hammer, the president of BuzzFeed, the CEO of Warby Parker, and the CEO of Rent the Runway to fly into Colgate University in upstate New York and be the panelist for a mock Shark Tank competition, where they told me, Shav, you're gonna compete against four other companies in front of the whole school on Parents Weekend.
That's awesome.
So everyone and their parents were there. and to compete for grant money, no equity, no strings attached for your companies. So I'm getting mic'd up backstage. I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom. Like, I need to go throw up. I actually thought I was going to throw up. They're like, sir, you have to go on stage. It's like your time to compete. And I get up there. I blacked out. I don't even remember it. I just did my pitch. They start grilling me. And this is the thing is, every week in college, we did one thing. We did one thing. We added one A&R. We, you know, sent out a newsletter. Like, and that prepared for that moment, prepared us for that moment where, like, they started to ask us questions. Like, Jessica Alba and MC Hammer, they're grilling me. And I'm like, I've heard these before. I know these questions. These are the first questions everyone asks about the business. And so I gave the answers. Next thing I know, I see Indify as the audience winner. And I see Indify as the panel winner. And we got 25K to launch the company in grant money, graduated, went back to Scarsdale, which is actually my backyard touches the first Bad Boy offices.
That's it?
Yeah, his was on the same street as me, I think, when they first launched. I don't know why they were in Scarsdale.
Bad Boy. That's where he's from. Well, he was there. His family, Puffy, was my family was in Mount Vernon.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, they was out there. His father and his mother, they was out there. So
our backyard touches the house that was in the documentary. I was like, that's in my backyard. And so we started the company in my basement. You know, at that point, you think, like, 25K, we'll never have to raise money again, whatever. And then we're like, this is legal fees. This is whatever. Oh,
forget it.
And those first few years were hard, but that's, and I can get into it, but that's so when we cut
T-Mobile
our teeth
bills.
Starting building V1.
Sure. Talk about, because I also know once these labels came in and they started licensing or, not licensing, subscribing.
Yeah.
Subscribing to Indify. And then they started getting into bidding wars for artists.
Yeah.
And then what did that lead into? Because they was getting upset, from what I understand, that maybe an artist that cost $500,000, they're spending $3 million on because other labels was bidding on and they've raised the price, and they're getting upset because you're basically giving all these labels the exact same information, and they're all picking the same artists based on these newsletters you're sending them and or advice of these artists.
Yeah.
So all the artists out there, they had the ability to get you picked.
Yeah. Well, so this is how we got there. In October 2015, I graduated in April 2015 or May 2015.
That's when you graduated.
And that was a couple weeks after April was when the Shark Tank was. So we just did it, graduated, moved to my basement, and are like, what's happening? Like, our friends have jobs, are in school, or are in the city. We're like living at home, like our parents are holding us down, building in my basement.
25,000
is not everything. You don't know, exactly. So, you know, some days I'm like, am I just in a basement with my guys? Like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
But we start building, and Matt builds the first working version in October 2015 where there's 40,000 artists being tracked. Like, this is the first time we have a big sample size. And Connor's going through shortly after that. This is when things start to click. He goes, yo, Shav, there's this artist at number 55 on the rank. You got to check him out. His name's Kai, K-A-I exclamation point. And the context, right, because he was writing about an artist each day, the context here is he has no press. He has nobody in the music industry that's following him. Like, he's just this kid. And he's putting up these demos, and they're organically reacting in this local town. And so I listen, and it's like a few thousand SoundCloud plays. Or I think it was 60,000 SoundCloud plays. It was 25 days from first release, and a few thousand followers. It was going up, you know? And I'm like, this is good music, like, but it's super raw.
Yeah.
But this is the diamond in the rough. This is why we do this. We want to democratize discovery. This is someone organically reacting. Let's get on the phone with him. So we get on the phone. He's like, I'm 17. I'm in El Paso, Texas. I'm recording music on my cell phone. You know, one day I hope to be a music teacher. And we're like, you know what?
Music teacher.
He's like, kids in school are kind of picking on me about this. And we're like, you know, like, keep going. We believe in you. We're going to help you out. Like, we're here for you. And so, you know, we continue in November 2015 at a time where, again, still blogs mattered. We do this Pigeons and Planes piece. 20 artists that are going to blow up according to stats. We put a bunch of graphs in it. It's all interactive. And Kai is one of these artists. So he calls us and he's like, guys, like, this is amazing. Like, everyone at school thinks I'm the shit. Like, this is so cool. I'm going to go, I'm actually flying out to Atlanta. I'm meeting my manager. Thank you guys so much for, like, being there for me. By the way, I'm going to start going by my real name.
Uh-oh.
And we're like, okay, so what's your real name? And he goes, Khalid. Mm-hmm. And so at 17 years old, we identified Khalid. That piece is still up there to date. And at 13 years old, we then identify Billie Eilish. In 2015, we also identify Post Malone. We helped. We were probably one of the first groups to coin SoundCloud rap. And remember, this is like going out to all the labels in editorial and in the rank.
People were going to SoundCloud.
Now you get it.
Bedroom Pop was another thing that we helped coin.
That's why artists were putting this shit on SoundCloud.
Well,
I'm saying before the CD Baby.
Still put it on SoundCloud.
No, yeah, but it now with everything else, it's not as the ones that still put it on SoundCloud don't know.
Yeah.
About distribution.
Well, we would just highlight them. We just say, hey, look, like this is happening. This is real. Yeah, we would just shine a light on artists who deserved it. They're putting up numbers, they're performing. The kids are voting. But this is a trend, right? The kids are voting who the winner
is. The end game besides helping them is telling the labels that, hey, this works.
And
this works.
We built our
you guys, we can pick the next star better than you, motherfucker.
Well, I don't know. I don't pound the last part, but yeah. Like,
it's all right.
Yeah,
I say it for you.
Yeah, well,
fuck you, motherfucker.
Motherfuckers.
But
let me get. I got all your names and date of birth.
Yeah. But act like you don't want this problem.
Exactly, motherfucker.
But it was crazy. It got to a point where every label was subscribing, right, to the tool. Every A&R has access to it. And so if an artist jumped up on our rank, or if, you know, our newsletter went out and it was featuring some artist, I won't say who, but yeah, we saw bidding wars start to happen. We saw artists go from $500,000 deal to a $3 million deal the next day. We got some angry phone calls for people being like, yo, we're paying you, but you're driving these prices up. And we were giving a lot of value to these artists. And that was a beautiful thing because it was a little scary at first.
Changing lives.
But yes, we were changing lives and we were changing and spotlighting the artists who deserve to succeed. And that was our first mission, to democratize discovery.
So when you say it's your first mission, now the mission obviously pivoted.
Yeah.
Because you stopped giving the record labels this information because of that problem, right?
When did you stop?
So a couple years ago, three years ago, we started to notice that, you know, for...
That they're ingrateful bastards?
No. That
and they should be paying you a lot more
for
the fucking work you're giving
them? It just comes back to mission, right? Like, comes back to mission. We had helped democratize discovery, but if you didn't have access to funding early on, and you didn't have one of these 20 to 30 incredibly adept and smart digital marketers on your team, you didn't even have a shot to get on the rank to get seen. So we had democratized discovery, but we had an equalized opportunity. And that was always the goal, right? We want to level the playing field. We want to make sure everyone in the world has a fair shot and that the best music is heard, not just the music that has the advantage. And so that's when, you know, we noticed that whole system, and we started to not only identify these superstars, but equally importantly, identify these strategic professionals behind the stars, many of whom actually had their own digital agencies, because digital was the new MTV, right? Digital marketing on social media, that's the new version of radio and MTV that's really breaking songs, especially short form content on Reels, TikTok, and YouTube Shorts today. But we not only identified all them, we started to notice that, you know, for every artist that was a superstar, there'd be a ton of other artists who weren't able to release music, who were stuck in deals that were 85% five album deals, right? With ownership in favor of the label, and owed a lot of money back.
Right.
And so rather than being an identification tool for the old industry, we instead said, what if we take this intelligence? What if we take these strategic professionals that really add value and artists with traction, which were the best in the world at identifying, and what if we build a platform that is a new music industry? One that's equitable, digital, transparent, and is not an identification tool for the old, but an investment marketplace for the new. And all of the deals on the platform to this day, even the way the platform is built, I showed you yesterday the technology. Sure. It always has to be artists own more than 50% of the royalties, artists keep ownership of those royalties, and artists keep creative control. He can attest, when you put in 40, what happens? It errors out. It doesn't allow you to do it.
It doesn't do it.
And so these are the protections we've built. And additionally, as important, we've vetted all of the investors to make sure that they're all value-add investors for the artist. And so a couple years ago, Alexis Ohanian, he's the founder of Reddit, he's Serena Williams' husband, he tweeted, I wish I could invest in Lizzo. And I said, invest in the next one on Indify. Next thing I know, I'm at the US Open quarterfinal watching Serena play with a friend, and he's walking up the stairs, and that friend runs into him who had showed him the tweet, and he goes, yo, Shav is the guy that that tweeted at you about investing in musicians. He's like, oh, I love that tweet. But why would I ever invest in a musician?